Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke and His Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hey, folks. How's everybody doing today? I'm doing okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Who is this?
This is Zigzag.
Oh,
you
Zigzag.
Sounds full of NUI, Rufus. Can you tell us why?
If you can define NUI, perhaps.
I would say
boredom.
NUI is like Garfield, I think, is full of NUI, right?
Oh, Yeah, that describes me all the time. I hate Mondays, but I love lasagna.
And Dave. Do you love Dave, too?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Love Dave. But I hate Odie.
Dave Tucci.
Oh, yeah, Dave
Tucci. So what's the problem? I just caught, like, last end of what you were saying. Were you having some kind of turmoil in your life?
No, I literally, okay. The intro had just wrapped up. The new one. I just did a new one today.
Oh, you did?
And, I did a new one mentioning Smoking Hits and Global Corp, because I figure we own at least that.
All right.
But it's otherwise identical. Yeah, definitely. At least 5 minutes of my time to record a new intro. But no, I hadn't had time to say anything before I saw that you called in, so I may have sighed, but again, you know, it's NUI, I guess.
It is. And, you know, I don't really know the official, the right thing for NUI. I just know that it's a thing.
I have to say that, and this is coming from an English major, by the way, that I've never actually heard another human being actually use that word in a sentence, ever. I've seen it printed on paper in a book, but I've never heard another human being.
So what you say is you're pretty damn impressed with my vocabulary skills.
I am. I'm quite impressed and a little I didn't expect to be intimidated on this episode, but I have to say I just want to go away now.
That's my wife. My wife actually used the word with me the other day, so I'm kind of ripping it off from her. Thanks, Shan. I'm not
what she described
me? We're like NUI. I can't spell it.
I'll have to write a song about it, but I can't imagine what rhymes with NUI, except in your eye.
That's all I could think of, actually. Or
I like pie.
Super high guy.
Super high guy, don't make me cry.
Get off my thigh.
Get off my thigh. I like to fly. Okay, well, there's a lot of shit.
I think we wrapped it up.
NUI.
We
did.
A lot of shit.
It'll be a wrap. I'll call up LL and see if he's game.
So you get any closer to your move? Are you ready to go? Are you in the right headspace?
You know, it's funny you mentioned headspace. Because I've been so busy that I really kind of – it never enters my mind exactly the end goal. It's just always like, what do I have to do now to get, you know, mark shit off my list.
Right.
But I did have a moment today where it, like, popped into my head, mainly because, well, I looked at the clock, and it was, like, 4 o'clock, and I realized, holy shit, a week from today, I will have been in Nicaragua for, like, a few hours at this point. And then my mind was pretty blown at that point.
Was it? You just blew your own mind, did you?
I did. I had to start drinking immediately right then.
It's a little something to take the edge off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or so you can think straight again.
Yeah, that's true. I was getting the shakes. I was starting to have a delirium tremens.
Well, you really know it's bad when you think that there's spiders crawling all over your skin. So you were fine.
Yeah.
You were totally fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I was fine.
But better not go down that road. Better just have a beer whenever you feel like you might feel spiders crawling on your skin. Just say it's a safe thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
That's right. If you think spiders are crawling all over your body, have a six-pack, and then if there's still spiders crawling all over your body, something's really fucking wrong.
Then you're probably laying in a bunch of spiders.
Yeah. You've been overcome.
You probably have spiders crawling all over your body.
Yeah.
Either that or you're a vodka drinker.
or a bath salt snorter.
That's more like it, yeah. I think if you smoke or snort or shoot up bath salts, beer is probably not going to help you rid your mind of the spiders that are on your body. I think that's
no, not at all. Have you ever seen video of a guy on bath salts? I mean, aside from the one where the guy ate the other guy's face off.
I did see a guy on that TV show Intervention. Did you ever see that? This guy was totally out of his mind and basically built some kind of thing out of some paper plates and thought he was like talking to aliens, and then was crawling around the roof of his mom's house, basically thinking he was commuting with people from other worlds and whatnot. It was very strange. I hate to say it kind of piqued my interest, but I decided not to go that way.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen any of Intervention this season, unfortunately. I don't know why. I can't find. I used to watch it religiously, and I don't know if they moved the time or whatever, but I just haven't been able to find it. But I love the show. But I have to say that no matter how fucked up or disastrous their life is, I'm always like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. I think I might try that.
I should try that. I think I'll hole up for 6 months with a bunch of methamphetamine and start picking at my skin and see where that leads.
Well, it's because they always start with a backstory where they started doing the drug and they were just a party animal and everybody loved them. And I'm like, well, if I stop there, it should be okay. So, yeah, I'm
right.
Sold on this, whatever it is.
They never started out with, no one's ever really partying. By the time Intervention shows up, it's like you're holed up in your room, you have nothing, you're depending on someone else for everything, and you're like, I love drugs or
right.
booze or whatever it is. So it's kind of like, right, you miss all the fun part.
Yeah, but honestly, if the people you're depending on are supplying you, yeah, even that's not so bad.
And usually at the end, that's how it is, if you've ever seen who you're stealing from them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's such a feel-good show. I wonder what the relapse rate. I think I saw something the other night, because it was like a season finale, that out of like the, I can't remember if it was like 200 interventions that they did or 112 or something, but like 7 people had died. 63 people relapsed, you know. I mean, if you watch a show, it's like about 50% of the episodes, the people never complete the intervention or the rehab, and they just go back right to where they were, probably even worse. It's pretty scary, actually.
Yeah, that's actually why my wife can't watch it, because they, like, always end it on a high note, and then they come back, and they do, like,
right.
the text highlights, and it's always like, so-and-so fucking bailed after 6 months, or, you know, they relapsed after whatever, or they fucking died.
Right, you get your hopes up by playing that song, you're like, yay, doo-doo-doo-doo, yay, everybody's going
right.
to be well, and then they're like, ah, here's the sucker punch. They punch you right in the gut with the, yeah, he lasted about 72 hours, then has been arrested twice in a week.
You know what we should do is, just for the irony of it, is make a drinking game based on Intervention where, like, I don't know, every time somebody passes out in an alley, you drink, or every time somebody relapses,
every,
you drink.
If you really wanted to get drunk, it'd have to be every time they say enabler or enabling.
Yeah, or every time they blame their parents for something, get take a drink.
Or every time someone's living in their parents' basement. If they're in the basement, you have to drink.
Right. Oh, dude, I can see it now. We could have a board game with, like, one of those arrows that you flick and it spins around, and that lands on what you have to do. So, it like, you flick it and it lands on booze or bath salts or coke. And so that's what you have for the game. And then if one of those things happens, you either have to take a hit of bath salts or a snort of cocaine or something.
And then eventually you can kind of tie that in with an episode of Cops. Because, like, I'm pretty sure after you start doing that, soon the cops would be showing up at your house as you're fashioning tinfoil into magic hats to communicate with the universe. While cooking your own bath in a Diet Coke bottle.
But even that becomes a drinking game. If every time a cop knocks on your door, you take a drink.
Here's how smart people are, Cliff. I read in the paper today where a guy was growing marijuana in his attic, and he called the cops because he thought there was a fire, and the cops came out and arrested him.
Oh, good Lord. That's, you know, it's not weed that gives weed a bad name. It's that guy that gives weed a bad name.
Right. I think that guy pretty much gives humans a bad name.
Yeah, I mean, for every pot smoker that's just an average guy who's probably like a high-ranking executive in some company, there's that guy that makes the news.
No, the sad part is there's two of that guys.
There's two of that guys?
Well, I'm saying for every normal person that smokes weed, there's some idiot. There's two idiots out there smoking weed.
Exactly, but that's why they need to legalize weed, so then the weed-smoking executives can hire those guys and just teach them how to fucking do it right.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm surprised it's not legal, because think how much money that Kellogg's and whoever could make selling Pop-Tarts and stuff.
Pop-Tarts. Nice.
I mean, I can't – if they even knew that their base of people was so deep, if everyone just smoked weed, people just sit around and eat Reese's and Pop-Tarts all day, I think. So basically it'd be even easier to control the world.
But I don't know how your supermarkets are in Indiana, but in HEB, it's like you go in and you'll see these coupons hanging everywhere, and they're like combo deals. Buy a bag of chips and you get a 2 liter of Coke. Can you imagine the combo deals if it was like buy a carton of marijuana cigarettes and get a Totino's pizza and, you know, a liter of Mountain Dew or whatever?
Right. It's all about the money now. And, you know, after that, they probably you probably would get a free Sawzall. Because after about 6 months of that, you'd be Sawzall fat, which means you'd have to cut the door out of your house or cut the wall out of your house. Let's coin that phrase. Let's start calling people Sawzall fat.
Sawzall fat, nice.
Sawzall fat is like the new obese. You're like, damn, that dude, he's Sawzall fat. See if people ever understand what you're talking about. I literally just came up with Sawzall fat.
That's very good. That's reminiscent of something my dad used to say.
Which
whenever,
is what?
Whenever he'd see a fat person, usually a woman, he'd say, God damn, her ass is two axe handles wide. Like if you had two axe handles side by side.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Yeah, send the hate mail to Ike Haley.
Yeah.
Two ass handles.
Axe handles, like the tool, axe.
Right, axe handle. That is hilarious. I've never heard that before. That's better than Sawzall fat. We just say axe handle fat.
Axe handle fat.
So I've been trying to keep up on the Hyperslot Facebook, but, I mean, obviously it's a daunting task. I don't know how people stay on Facebook all day. I really don't. Either that or I'm lazier than I thought.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I've been on there for years, but I maybe check it and do something once a day. I do more for like hyper. Well, I'll tell you what happens is I'll be at the on the couch after a few beers, and I end up doing a shitload, but it's never anything worthwhile. But now y'all have 400 friends. I'm very popular, so there's
a
lot for me to respond to and deal with.
Right.
But it is largely a waste of time. Oh, yeah. Or there's even more people giving advice that's unwanted.
There you go.
I don't like those
Nothing
people.
Says love like unsolicited advice.
Exactly. Especially when it mentions Jesus.
So I did not get a chance to listen to that Sammy Hagar song. I do apologize for that. If you want to give it to us in a nutshell, though, I'd like to hear about it.
No apologies, man, because it was short notice. We got cut off, like we probably will today, and I completely forgot. It's an interesting song. I'd like you to hear it because it's not like any other Sammy Hagar song. It's pre-Van Halen, Van Halen, the band. It's like 1974, and he's on this show called The Midnight Special.
I remember that show. Just,
really? I didn't even know about it until I saw this.
Really?
But it's, yeah. It like rang a bell, but I think maybe I was thinking of The Midnight Special. Wasn't that a band, or was that a song? I'm thinking of 38 Special.
I think it was a song. Yeah, I think you are thinking 38 Special. I think 38 Special had the song Midnight Special, and then they actually had the single Saturday Night Special.
And then the Blue Plate Special is what they serve at the concert.
Right, and then the Blue Light Special, which is the only thing they had their colored lights.
And, of course, their tour bus was a special bus. It was short.
It was the tinted windows, of course. So go ahead. Are you going to tell us a little bit about this song, if you don't mind, Rufus?
I'd really like you to check it out. I'd like your input on it. But first of all, it's a really good song. I really like it. But it's obvious that at the time, the record label or his manager or whatever was like, hey, look, this whole soul funk disco thing's really big. You need to do at least one of these songs. And he said, okay, what the fuck ever. And he did it because it doesn't fit. Like, I first heard it on a best of album that my wife got me. There's something else funny about this album, too. But anyway, it was a best of album. It was Sammy Hagar, 1972 to 76, right? And all the songs are really fucking good, but they're all, especially for the time, pretty heavy metal. They're all about cars and women and drinking. There's even a song about drinking and driving, which is funny. And it's like pro drinking and driving. But then there's this one song called You Make Me Crazy. That's just this real kind of slow. It's not slow, but it's like soulful R&B kind of thing. And he fucking nails it. He does it great. But it's so like outside the spectrum of everything else. I like it for that. And other people fucking hate it. But what's funny about this album that my wife got me, this best of Sammy Hagar, is like it was an actual CD. And you open it up, you take out the CD, and it has that picture, like, in the back where the CD sits on top of. And I was looking at it. It was just a close-up shot of presumably Sammy Hagar from, like, the middle of his stomach down to about the middle of his thighs, right? So, like, his waist, and you see his belt. And he's wearing these tight-ass white pants. And you can
– I don't like where this thought, is well, headed.
And I was like, I don't get what this picture is about. But if you look at it close – you can totally see the imprint of, like, every vein of his member just embossed in these pants.
So, basically, can you tell me, is Sammy uncircumcised or circumcised?
It's pretty obvious that he's both. He was circumcised, and then probably a fan sent him some foreskin, and he had that attached. Probably as part of a contest. I don't know.
Is Sammy Hagar Jewish? Is he Jewish?
Judging by this album cover, I'd say actually, yes, from what I recall.
I don't mean it like that. I literally was just asking the question, you being the scholar of Sammy Hagar. I guess there would have been a better way to ask if he was circumcised. Is Sammy Jewish?
Yes. He's a handful of Jew. I'll put it that way.
He's not. You sure he's not two handfuls?
He might be. I got small hands.
This must be a pretty powerful picture, the way that you're remembering every vein on his weenus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's powerful in the right way or not. It's just, it's like, you know those pictures that were big in like the 90s that just looked like a jumble of bullshit, but if you stared at them long enough, you saw a 3D picture?
You know what's sad is I could never do that. I never have seen the 3D picture. I've lied about it. I've lied about seeing the 3D picture, but I can tell you right now, I've never, ever seen the 3D picture. Does that make me insane?
Really?
Just retarded.
I think I've seen it once, and it was like right when I was about to give up and turn away, and then I saw it, and I never saw it again, ever.
Are you sure you just wanted to see it so bad? I think people make that shit up. I think everybody lied. I think they just wanted to see it so bad. They're like, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's the biggest like marketing scandal in the world by the poster companies, because there really is no picture.
You remember doodle art?
No, what is that?
It's like where they were classic. They sell you like a poster and a whole thing of markers to color it in and stuff. You don't remember doodle art. I know they still sell doodle art because my daughter gets it once in a while. But I can tell you, me and my brother would be like, oh, we're going to hook up some doodle art or whatever, and we'd get like an hour into coloring it and be like, yeah, this is fucking boring. And just like, it'd end up in the bottom of a closet somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sure as a parent, you realize that that's like most toys you buy, right?
Right. It's like, hey, here's a toy. Will it keep you quiet for 1 hour? Great. We'll take it. We'll take 24 of them. I'll take 24 of those. My daughter is 5 now, and I'm telling you what, she's too smart for her own good. I mean, she's like smarter than me, and that's saying a lot. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, sure.
She uses the word, she's 5, and she uses the word obsessed in like perfect order. I swear to God. She's like, we were in a soccer game, okay? She plays soccer. And this little kid's like crawling over his mom, and she looks at me and goes, why is he so obsessed with his mom?
Wow.
This from a little girl who, like, if she can't see her mom's like, where's mom? And then I just said, why are you?
Do you talk to your kid like they're a kid, or do you just talk to them? Because I just talk to my kid.
Yeah, I just talk to her. I mean, really, I'm telling you, I can talk to her like a kid. She wouldn't buy it. She's like, Dad, why are you talking like a little kid?
I think you're right. I agree. So yesterday I had to make this unexpected trip to Brenham to pick up. What happened is we sold one of our cars to my mother-in-law. So my wife and my kid took the car up there, and then I met them halfway to pick the wife and kid up. And so on the way back, the kid's amped because he hasn't had a nap. And he says, I know a bad word. And I just said, well, don't say it. And I was hoping that would end it, but of course it didn't. He said, well, but I'm going to tell you what it is so you know that I know. He's like, oh, geez. I said, okay, just what is it? You know, just to get it over with. And he said, stupid. Stupid's a bad word. And I was just like, oh, thank God. And then he said, and also, fucking bitch.
Shut up.
I'm serious. Oh, no, he said, fucking damn it. He said, also, fucking damn it's a bad word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where did you learn fucking damn it?
Me driving him to school in traffic.
You should have said, no, those are good words, son. Those are good words for explaining traffic.
That's right.
My daughter had her birthday party like a month ago, and some, you know, obviously some kids were there, and one little kid dropped like a potato chip or something. He's like, God damn it. I mean, like it was so natural to him. He's like, probably, I don't even think he's 4 yet. He's just like, God damn it. And then his mom like looks over at her husband's like, Josh.
Yeah, of course.
Right. He's like, yeah, it was my fault. But the little kid just said it so matter-of-factly. God damn it.
Wow, that's funny. Like, every time my kid cusses, it's like it's a look-at-me thing. I would actually kind of like it if he cussed and it was just like for normal conversation. Well, I guess I would like it, but it would amuse me more.
Yeah, kids cussing is always funny. There's no doubt about it. They are just little people who cost more than grown people.
Oh, yes.
So, you know what? Have you watched The Wheel of Fortune lately, Rufus?
No, I'm not 60 yet.
Well, as soon as you turn 43, like me, you'll probably start watching Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
But now they give you, now at the end of the whole thing, like when you're going for the big prize, they give you the letters R-S-T-L-N and the vowel E, right? Which are like the most popular. They're like the most popular ones if you ever watch a show that everybody guesses. That it's, those letters are like in every word, it seems like. Like every word that you speak or whatever. So now.
So that's like a good head start.
Well, yeah, but now they've just found a way. This is the bullshit part of it. Now it's like working with 19 letters because now they just go for words that don't even contain those letters.
What?
Yeah, which makes it like way even harder. You might get, out of all those letters, you might get one letter. So now
like
they've just like opened up, yes, basically, or like xylophone. You know, because now they just got it set up where they just don't, they choose letters that you would never know, and people are like, you know, then you go for letters like B and R, or like letters that aren't up there, and it's just impossible. They've given themselves like the ultimate advantage to cheating people out of winning on Wheel of Fortune.
Jesus Christ. And what do they make? It's not like
I knew this,
gambling
I knew
the
this
casino.
Was
they don't make
when,
anything.
I knew it when Merv Griffin died, this was going to happen. I knew it.
Well, that was the worst thing to happen to the gaming industry, the televised gaming industry ever.
It is. It is. And that, you remember when we lived in Roehampton, we used to play that game where you would guess the Jeopardy answer just by seeing the category of the final question?
Yes.
Remember we used to do that?
Uh-huh.
I still do that, and I've gotten like five of them. And the only reason I'm saying it is because like 2 days ago my wife got one, and it was like the most thrilling thing that ever happened in her life, I think, except for marrying me. Because it's pretty damn exciting. It's pretty damn exciting when it happens, you must admit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've
and
never been married to you. But
we were trying to explain it to my in-laws forever, and they just couldn't wrap their heads around it or whatever. And then they got to like, if I can't understand that, that's fucking stupid attitude. You know what I mean? They're like, shit, I don't understand that.
Uh-huh.
It must be fucking stupid. And then finally,
right.
I don't know how it happened, but one day it like came to them, and now they like, that's all they ever want to talk about. It's like how exciting
awesome.
That is. So we need to think of a name for that. I don't know what a name for that would be, but that's its own game. I think that's better than Jeopardy itself.
Yeah, that could be coupled with the intervention game. Again,
there
another
you go.
Entire division of Hyperswap.
Right, the game show division. Get Mike on the phone over at Game Show immediately.
Is there not an episode that I'm pretty sure like every episode we've come up with incredibly brilliant ideas, and I'm not saying that to be a smartass or to be funny, but like
no,
for real.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I do. I mean, who else would have thought of Sawzall Fat? Please.
No shit. So we should just maybe market the Hypersloth show as a think tank with a side of entertainment, because if executives and venture capital to listen to this show, they're eventually going to find something in every episode that they can capitalize on.
Well, that's why I think we just go ahead and do the Kickstart program for founding of Globo Corp Industries officially, so we can just start under that massive umbrella. I mean, because basically Hypersloth is a thing. Hypersloth is us as a team coming up with great ideas, great music, great marketing campaigns, great skits.
Yes.
You know, I mean, really, it's big. It's huge. And we just
it
need
huge.
To get some So we need just need a little more financial backing. I think we just need to get the right venture capitalists to say, you're right, these guys are the big next thing. They know it, and now everybody knows it.
Yeah, and it can only snowball, really. It wouldn't take a lot. You know, maybe 30 grand just given directly to us, and within a year, that'd be easily worth 3 or 4 times that.
It easily.
More, really.
Basically, what they do is just give us money so I don't have to worry about paying the bills and all that shit, and I could come up with some even more genius stuff, and I'm sure you could as well. Because, like, not really working and doing the 9-to-5 shit is what saps me of all my fucking decent energy, I think.
Yeah, it's a hassle. It gets in the way. I mean, I've always said, like, of myself, and I'm sure you've said this too, like, if you just had 1 year covered, like if somebody just said, whatever your salary is, here it is for 1 year, you don't have to work, that's covered, then probably within 6 months you'd be making twice that just off of your own brilliance.
More than likely, yeah. Instead of grinding away, doing what the man says, keeping me down. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think most people call that college, though, Rufus. Oh, wait, that's just sitting around and doing nothing. That's doing nothing. I love how people are like, I'm taking a full course load at college. I'm like, so you're working, you're like reading a book 15 hours a week. What do you do with the other 153 hours? Whatever the hell it would be. I shouldn't laugh, though, because I took a couple of 12-hour semesters myself and felt a little overloaded.
Yeah, well, me too. I mean, I felt overloaded every second I was in college.
Except when you were just loaded?
Yeah, when I was loaded, I didn't feel overloaded.
Right,
when I wasn't loaded, but I was in class, so I felt overloaded.
Yeah, to go back to that again, you know, even working at Delaware was that was pretty much, I'd like to say, it's sad to say, but the pinnacle of my existence, I would imagine. We were at our true brilliance form then, unimpeded brilliance.
Unimpeded is a good way to put it, man. Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a care in the world. It was really just nothing but being creative and enjoying that.
And cheesesteaks.
And cheesesteaks, that's right.
You know, too bad that we never did go get to, down there to San Marcos to rescue that Delaware subs shop that the Tooch had down there.
How could it not survive in a college town? I mean, I guess when the college kids leave, then what? But did you ever go down there?
No, I never did, but you said it had like a patio on the roof and was just fucking set up for like partying.
It was a great place, like when you're inside it, and yeah, it did have like a patio and some other badass stuff. But the problem is like the front door, like getting to the place, it was totally hidden. It was like inside this complex where you had to like, you couldn't see it from the street anywhere. You had to walk down like through a little alley into this courtyard. It's completely hidden. That was the problem.
So it was like
but once
Melrose
you were there,
Place?
Yeah, exactly. It was like Melrose Place.
So like doors facing other doors.
That's exactly how it was, dude. And it was all completely hidden. And it looked great. The architecture was awesome. It had cool like curb appeal with trees and shit hanging over. And yeah, like a patio and an upstairs thing. And I thought, man, this is the Delaware subs that I want to like. I'm going to be like the manager of this and take this thing to the next level. And then it, you know, fucking tanked. But only because nobody fucking knew it was there.
Not only did it tank, it like tanked in record time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it tanked after like 5 months or not even.
And that's absurd. I mean,
you know, you can't deny. I mean, obviously, Dave knew what he was doing. With you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. So something obviously stunk down there in San Marcos. But I mean, really, I think all they were probably missing in that little shopping center was like a Starbucks to get everybody to mull around for like 20 hours on their free wireless. But see, that's all before that
right.
shit. So you know, everybody's like, "Meh, I'm not going in there. That's probably lame."
Actually, you might be interested in this.
All
right. Tune in next time.
No, I'm interested. Of course I'm interested.
No, I actually talked to the Tooch a few months ago, and he's no longer a Delaware Subs. The place is in the same place where we worked, but it's called Austin Southside Subs, and I actually designed the logo.
Yeah, I saw the logo on there. How come he decided to – is he using real boar's head meat now, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons why apparently him and a lot of other franchisees bailed on Delaware, because they had like totally lowered the quality of the products that they required the franchises to buy. But then at the same time, they were like, we're going to class up the joint. So everybody needs to install marble counters and tile flooring. And oh yeah, it's $300,000 and all on you. But if you don't do it,
right,
you know, you're fine. And so him and a whole bunch of other people just said, well, you know, fuck you guys. So they all became different things, but he went back to using like actual, you know, boar's head meat and all the really good stuff. He's doing okay, I think.
That makes a big difference. I mean, people come in and drop $10 for a sandwich. They ought to expect to get decent food on said sandwich. I mean, or decent meat. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah, and he...
Delaware Subs is what it was, but it wasn't like some worldwide phenomenon, you know what I mean? Where they're like, we can just give them what they want. They're just going to keep coming. We're a huge machine. You know, people are like, fuck
that. Exactly. Right. And he changed the menu up quite a bit, and a lot of the items are kind of the same thing but with different names, but there's a bunch of new shit on there. And I've eaten there several times, and it's pretty goddamn good if you like a good sandwich.
Does he still get those chips? Remember those garlic parmesan chips? Poor Brothers.
Oh, man.
Are they called Poor Brothers? Poor Brothers.
Yes, you're right. No, I think now he's got Zaps, but damn, you're right. I do remember those garlic
parmesan
chips. Oh,
that's right. The Zaps switchover was happening while we were still there, if I recall correctly.
You might be right, because I've loved Zaps a long time, and that's probably where I got introduced to it. But damn, I do remember those Parmesan chips. Wow.
God, those are so good, man. I'm telling you. People, if you can find these Poor Brothers Parmesan chips out there, Parmesan garlic or something, I can't remember what they're, but god damn, are they good. And I don't really cuss about food that often, but god damn, were those good.
I'm actually Googling Poor Brothers chips right now. What did you say?
Are you Googling them? Did you say you're Googling them? Are they coming up?
I'm Googling the Poor Brothers. Yep, here they are. Yeah, okay. Original, salt and vinegar. I remember those. Ooh, now they have habanero.
Damn, yeah, I see the habanero. That doesn't seem too bad.
Salt and cracked pepper. Yeah, here, jalapeno cheese.
They changed up their bags a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Sweet Maui onion. Okay, they're getting outside of themselves now. You know what I'm not seeing?
Yeah,
now?
I don't see
the Parmesan.
I'm not seeing it either.
What? What the fuck? Wow. That hurts. I wish I didn't know that. Thanks a lot, Rufus.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, it kind of ruined my night, too, now.
Life
Sweet
is not
Maui
worth
onion.
Living.
Onion.
Right?
It's not.
Jalapeno. You know what they should do? Why not just do a cheesesteak-flavored chip, and then you don't even have to order the frickin' sandwich?
There you go. That's another fucking brilliant idea that
came
out of the show.
Don't need the sandwich. Had the chip, the flavored chip.
Dude, cheesesteak-flavored potato chips.
Next big thing.
I mean, just bask in that for a while, man. That's a brilliant fucking, I can imagine that flavor. I'd eat a whole bag of that.
You know you could. You know what this is it. The cheesesteak flavored chip and the hot pepper flavored chip, and eat them together.
Oh my god.
Remember that hot pepper chip?
Do what?
That hot pepper relish was good stuff. No doubt about that.
Oh hell yeah. I love both peppers.
You know what?
I've
never
tried
the chip peppers.
Oh, you didn't? They were good. They were good.
No,
they were good mixed with the hot peppers.
Yeah,
you could
I can
capture
see that.
The flavor of an Italian gourmet and put that in a chip.
Oh,
like
yes.
Like a chip with a muffaletta flavor to it would be good.
I can honestly say when I had my Philly subs and pizza here that the Italian gourmet, well, no, I mean, the Italian gourmet and the cheesesteak were neck and neck bestsellers, like the bestsellers, hands down.
Mm.
I mean, hands down, they really were. Not that I ripped off any idea from Delaware Subs and named it Philly Subs or anything, but I, you know, in case I was thinking about it.
Yeah, God, I completely forgot about that. What is really funny, though, is I was digging through a bunch of printed out things that I had, and I was looking for old Hypersoft lyrics, and I found a piece of paper printed from a computer that had Philly Subs, and it was like a logo kind of thing, and I was like, I couldn't remember what the hell it was from. That's from you.
Yeah, and Philly Subs, and I bet the logo should have said, we sink other subs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Tell me
that's
not
a
brilliant
a real thing
for a sub shop. Yeah, no, it was a real thing. I eventually ended up selling Philly Subs and pizzas.
No,
we
kidding.
Made the mistake of having pizzas, too. Pizzas are a lot more work than subs, let's just say that.
Really?
You know what I wish
so,
I would have done? When I had that sub shop, I should have called you and got a recipe for those pepperoni rolls.
Oh, yes.
Some double days.
God damn. Yeah. Yeah, those are good, too.
How do you make a pepperoni roll? How exactly do you make a pepperoni roll, Rufus?
You take a large pizza dough, and you roll it out as big as you can roll it out. Then you toss it. As big as you can toss it out, so it's fucking huge and, like, super thin, right? And then you take a pizza cutter and you cut it into, I think, like, 12 different triangles. And then each triangle gets half a slice of provolone and 6 pepperonis. And then you just roll that shit up like a crescent roll.
That's what you know what? All those years I was thinking, how the fuck do they do this? And right when you were telling that story, I thought maybe you just roll it up like a caressa roll. And
that's exactly, in fact, you can buy Pillsbury Doughboy crescent rolls and make them at home.
I think I will try that. And I think anybody else listening to the show should try that tonight as well, because that sounds good and heart healthy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, your heart's going to love you.
Yeah. So is your stomach and ass tomorrow. You know what we needed? I never did get around. I'm going to shoot that thing for the video tomorrow, Rufus. I apologize for that.
Uh-huh.
But today was like a really busy day at work. It's getting to be like my busy time of year work-wise. So I had to like take a bunch of meetings with people today that, you know, it's work is starting to get in the way of my free time again, and that's getting pretty annoying. So the sooner we can make it go,
yep.
This Hypersloth thing in its entirety, I will be thankful to the fans out there. Thank you, fans, for what you've done thus far. But let's take it to the next level, please.
Yeah, it's about time. Yeah, I found a cool video editing program that's totally fucking free if you don't use it for quote-unquote commercial purposes today. So that one video that I shot driving, right? I seriously almost caused a major fucking accident.
I was going to ask you. That did not look like it could be safe.
Do what?
I said that did not look like it could be safe.
No, it was not safe. Not safe at all. That was the second take at it. And I was doing good on the first one, but the problem is I was going down 290, and they're like totally rebuilding it to make a toll road to fuck people over. And so the traffic, the lanes are all skewed and like redirected. And yeah, I was almost seriously in a bad wreck. So I waited until I got in the open road, and then I gave it another shot. But anyway, I found this cool video editing program, so we should have no problems taking, like, the videos that people send us and, like, making something really pretty fucking cool with it.
Well, I don't know if you saw that the guy I know, Josh, was actually emailed or was commenting to Hypersloth last night. He has agreed to do a part of the video. He's the guy that understands.